ABC Radio Australia.
When it comes to ocean conservation, marine protected areas are seen as the gold standard to protect marine life. In Kiribati, the Phoenix Island protected area is almost 500,000 square kilometres of protected area where commercial fishing is banned. Palau too has a similar sized one, and across the Pacific, smaller sized protected areas can be found. But a new scientific study has found that MPAs, as they're commonly called, offer little protection to tuna, which is the region's most lucrative marine resource. Dr. John Hampton is one of the report's authors and is the chief fisheries scientist at the Pacific Islands community in New Caledonia, and he joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Dr. Hampton, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning, Nick. Nice to be with you.
Jumping straight into the findings, what was the impact of marine protected areas supposed to have on tuna stock numbers?
Well, I think the expectation was that they would have a significant conservation benefit for a range of species, including tunas. We wanted to, through our study, to basically verify what those effects would be for tunas, because implementing MPAs doesn't come without costs. And in the case of the Kiribati, the Phoenix Islands protected area, Kiribati in particular were concerned that having that closed area would detract from their license revenues that they get, which are quite substantial for a country like Kiribati.
So it's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it? You would think the more protected areas, the higher number of tuna, but from this study we see that isn't the case. So why is that?
Okay, well, there are several reasons why MPAs tend not to be that effective for tuna. First, the species that, such as skipjack and big eye tuna, which were the two species that we modelled specifically in our study, they tend to not to have spatially discrete spawning areas and spawn very widely throughout the entire tropical Pacific. So it's not really feasible to design an MPA around protecting the spawning areas. You'd basically have to close the entire fishery. Secondly, tunas tend to move around quite a lot, and the MPAs can obviously only protect as long as the fish are inside the MPA, and when they move out, they're subject to fishing pressure again. And thirdly, what we tend to see when MPAs are implemented is that the fishing activity that previously occurred there doesn't simply disappear, but shifts to adjacent areas and continues to fish. So the impacts on the overall stock continue to occur.
So can you take us through how this study was carried out and which area it was done in?
Sure, yeah. We started by modelling, as you said, the contribution to tuna conservation of the Phoenix Islands Protected Area, or PIPA as it's known, in Kiribati. And that was implemented in January 2015. So the first thing that our study wanted to do was come up with the quantitative estimates of what the tuna conservation effects of the PIPA are. And we did that by developing spatial models of skipjack and big eye tuna stocks, two of the more important ones, and then running simulations of the populations, including the historical fisheries, both with and without the PIPA in place. And then comparing those results from the two simulations gives us an estimate of how much protection the PIPA actually gives to the regional stock. As you said in your intro, the PIPA is a large area, about 400,000 square kilometres, but it's still fairly small relative to the range of tuna stocks in the Pacific. So the second thing we wanted to do was to estimate what the conservation outcomes for those same tuna stocks would be for much larger MPAs, hypothetical MPAs comprising around 30% of the area of the Western and Central Pacific. So we ran our simulations for those larger areas as well. In the case of the PIPA, we found that the effect on stock-wide abundance of those two species was essentially insignificant. And then even for the much larger 30% of the area MPAs, the effects were fairly modest, increasing the overall abundance of skipjack by up to 5% and for big eye up to about 12%. So for the larger areas, the larger the area you have, the more effect you get, but it's certainly not a one-for-one relationship.
You're listening to Pacific Beats on Radio Australia. I'm Nick Fogarty, and on the show with me this morning is Dr. John Hampton, the Chief Fisheries Scientist at the Pacific Community. Kiribati is reopening portions of the Phoenix Island protected area. So can you take us through their experience? I understand they lost income for closing off the area and had little gains in terms of conservation.
Yeah, well, in the case of tuna, you know, Kiribati has been, prior to 2015, licensing, particularly purse seine fishing, but also longline fishing that occurred within the Pipa. And that, of course, was prohibited from the 1st of January 2015. Now, the vessels that would have fished there most likely fished in other parts of the Pacific, in particular the high seas areas surrounding the Phoenix Islands. And so when they're fishing in the high seas, they're obviously not generating the same license fees for the Pacific Island countries, and in particular Kiribati. So there was a worry on the part of Kiribati that they were losing out financially on that deal. Now, obviously, the Pipa was meant to do things other than just protect tuna. It's a very interesting and pristine environment with coral reef ecosystems, etc., seamounts, and so I think the protective effects of the Pipa were obviously in place to protect those ecosystems as well, and that they were likely doing that quite effectively.
So if marine protected areas are not the answer for the Pacific, what do you think is the best option for conserving tuna stocks in the region?
Well, I think strengthening fisheries management controls more generally, having responsible effort, responsible limits on overall catch and effort, and we have a multilateral organisation in the Pacific whose job it is to do that. That's the Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission. So generally strengthening the monitoring capacity for implementing catch and effort controls and the like are going to be more effective than these sorts of spatial closures in the case of tunas.
And finally, in terms of tuna stocks in the region, how is the Pacific faring generally? Do we still have healthy stocks and therefore lucrative resources for Pacific Island governments?
Yeah, I guess the good news is that the four main tuna stocks, skipjack, big eye, which were the ones that we specifically covered in our study, but also yellowfin and albacore tuna, they're all currently estimated to be fished within sustainable limits and so can continue to generate the sorts of financial benefits that are substantial for Pacific Island countries.